Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. till 1.30 p.m. We're a little bit beyond some days. And hoping to expand even more than that in the very near future. We'll keep you up to date on that as developments happen. It's your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, talk, and more. And this week,
just like that, it all comes back to you. Deja vu. Deja vu.
That's right, it's deja vu all over again this week here. Well, in what way, you ask? I could hear you out there asking that. Bitcoin, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash all surging again. Bitcoin over 10,000, Litecoin over 200, Bitcoin Cash over 1,500, and much, much more. Speaking of deja vu, well, how about, remember Bitcoin Cash? What about Litecoin Cash? How's that sound for you? And keeping with the deja vu theme, super regulator hashtag crypto dad returned to Congress this week. Want more? More deja vu? How about Coinbase customers are complaining? And Coinbase is creating the excuse. Customers are complaining. And actually, Coinbase may have a decent excuse this time, or at least pointing the finger at somebody else. And finally, for our final deja vu, at least at this moment in time, Tether creates over $146 million worth of new euros and U.S. dollar tokens. And we'll find out more about that. But like I said, it's deja vu.
Long ago, deja vu. Could you be the king that I once knew? Killed to you. Deja vu.
Well, enough of the theme. Let's get to the panel in the studio. Little, I wouldn't say a shorthanded day. We got the hardcore in here today.
Central banks covering up the government.
They say it doesn't get any more hardcore than trading view columnist Goldbug1, SeekingCryptos.com principal, a.k.a. Andy. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Henry. Glad I could be here.
Well, I'm glad you could, too. Glad everybody can be here.
Bullish week this week and everything. The stock market, the crypto markets, and Augie's favorite gold.
Well, I guess you cued me.
I think we need to get him a new headset.
Maybe it's the headset that's not. Yes. Well, Augie is here. I think he really could hear it. He was just being the contrarian.
That's it.
I'll talk when I want to talk, and you'll play the damn music when I tell you to play the damn music.
It's this wonderful technology you have in the studio that makes it so easy to understand.
Oh, it's the you couldn't
that's
have found
my, that's
better
my
than
ready excuse.
Yes. I mean, this was 1995 when I remember when this rolled in here and they pulled the Commodore 64 out of the wall. And the it was much like this when I see everybody around me trying to pull wires in and out, and we're back on top of stuff. Well, maybe we ought to just get in to something that we can talk about here, and that would be, of course, the news.
Hey, I've got news for you.
Well, before the news, I do want to give you an alert that coming up at 12:45, we'll be speaking with Rosa Shores, Gabe Higgins, regulars here on the Henry Rain Show, and they have the big grand opening of Block Spaces coming up in Tampa. They've been acting out there. They've been getting people in. They've been getting people out. They've been doing the prep, And they've been having meetings, but now the official grand opening is coming up on the 3rd of March, and we'll get more of that in the second half of the show. But what else in the news?
It's on the way out. It's on the way out. It's on the way out.
Oh, and I didn't have to play the Ring of Fire music this week. That's because the crypto markets continued to mount a recovery this week, brushing aside fears of a possible lull ahead of the Chinese New Year holiday. I know that was on all of our minds. At the close of the seven-day session, this was actually probably yesterday, the total value of the cryptocurrencies was $471 billion, according to CoinMarketCap, up 22-plus percent from last Friday in a week's period. February 6th was the low of $276 billion. Bitcoin now trading... as we speak here, it's pushing 10,900, hasn't quite gotten there yet, but we'll find out from Goldbug One in just a second about some of these key resistance and support levels. Litecoin actually led the way this week with its resurgence, getting above $230 for the first time in a long time. And Bitcoin Cash also breaking the $1,500 mark, as well as many of the altcoins getting back on to the upward momentum. So let's go to Andy, because, of course, you've been following him. We know you follow him. You look every day. He's compulsive about putting those columns up on TradingView.com and probably is compulsive about SeekingCryptos.com. But let's start with Bitcoin. Andy, I know you were looking for that crossing of the $8,500 mark, and there you know the exact number you put. And then... You got it. What now?
Well, I mean, we've crossed a key important support and resistance line there at 9,900, which was, if you go back to December before the big rally, that was where it kind of consolidated before shooting up. And so we've now crossed that level. And
CNBC was telling us how critical it was when it went below that number.
Yes. I mean, that, you know, these patterns line up, and here we had a little bit of consolidation, a shot up, and I think we'll get a little pullback back to that to that resistance line before moving further ahead. And I think that you're seeing just not the crypto market, but you're seeing this across all the markets where they're kind of correlated right now. You had the stock market fall off. You had the crypto market that went to an all-time low, and now you're seeing the gold market, the crypto market, and the stock market all in one week just doing a nice rally, just a nice recovery here. And I think a lot of that had to do with the VIX and those various dangerous...
People that... No, you're not talking about the vapor rub.
Not VIX vapor about. Rub, but some people needed it after that, after they were trading the SVXY and those very dangerous derivatives.
What are they?
The VIX is a volatility index. It's an ETN. Well, it's not an ETN.
That's VIX. Exchange-traded note.
VIX, yeah. It's an exchange-traded note. And you can bet on the volatility. And for years, since 2012, its inception, it's traded relatively stable. And I think it had 62% annual returns up until this last month, where it lost 85-90% of its value. So... it's just, people get comfortable with those types of risky returns, and then they feel like, okay, there's no risk here, and they keep piling in, and then the rug gets pulled out.
Yeah, off the air, you said there's the only risk to the market is the uncertainty of the economics or the politics.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think because the economy is doing so well, and you're getting a lot of growth, you're seeing inflation rise, you're seeing wage inflation rise, and, the market recovered nice. And I think that also spilled over into the other markets like the crypto market.
You also mentioned the politics, and you said the local election has a bearing on that.
I agree, and I think that, in a longer-term sense, 6 months out, and, of course, that's a long time in crypto space, I think you're
like
going
6 years.
Yeah, I know, at least, and it's two elections. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see some volatility in the market going into the summer election, where the election starts to heat up, with larger investors trying to position themselves with whether the Republicans are going to hold, or whatever your political views are, that's just what's going to happen.
Right.
And I think you're starting to see a little bit of money start to go into some safe haven deflationary assets like gold and silver. And silver's kind of getting beat up, but gold and also the cryptocurrency market. I think there's a safe haven.
And you brought up the U.S. market and the U.S. politicians as opposed to overseas and outside the country, surprisingly, we almost have bipartisanship in the Republicans and Democrats, and neither wants to make cryptocurrencies or blockchain an issue. You at the hearings that we played many clips of, go to henryrainshow.podomatic.com. You can listen to last week's show or what your favorite podcast platform. We're all over the place. Other than Elizabeth Warren, and it really wasn't even that big a deal, she just tried to make a good soundbite point about caution in cryptocurrency. But basically, the Republicans and Democrats didn't seem to have any taste for using it as a wedge issue in politics, and makes me think, I'm wondering how much they're holding in their digital wallet.
Well, I think a lot of it, you know, people that are in the crypto space are very narrow-minded and channeled that the whole world's about cryptos, and it's not.
You mean focused.
Yeah, focused on that. And they live in a tunnel that the whole world's focused on cryptocurrencies, and it's not. And you saw that during the Senate meeting where
they're over-focused.
Yeah, most of the senators didn't even know about it. I mean, one thought Bitcoin was banned in China. And
you're only as good as your staff.
That's right. And the politicians have so many things on their hands with economics and health care and immigration. And cryptocurrency is way down the line. I mean,
one of the concerns that I got a call from someone today about is the ability to convert to whatever fiat currency you want to convert to. How easy is that? And that was a question from this caller.
It's not difficult. Yeah. If that's a priority, then you have, and you're in the United States, you have Coinbase, which is, other than when their volume gets too busy and you got to wait for it, it really isn't a problem. You can move it into your U.S. dollar wallet, and it'll get to your bank account in a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Kraken, you can convert to fiat, and that's a little bit more complicated. It takes a wire transfer to get the money out, but it's still in the U.S., and it's standard. Who else does fiat in the U.S.? Bittrex doesn't. Gemini probably does.
Yeah, I think Gemini does.
But they don't have a very big selection of cryptocurrency.
No.
But it's a great cue because not to go into the whole Mueller investigation and all the indictments, but right before the show I was looking at one of the things that's buried in the indictment is that Social Security numbers and identities were stolen from the exchange BTC-E, which is a Russian exchange. So U.S. citizens who, in their wisdom, put their identity into a Russian cryptocurrency exchange paid the price. So tell your friend that called you to avoid putting their money into a Russian. Plus, their crypto was stolen, too.
Yeah, right.
So they can lose both of their identity and their crypto.
Yeah. Well, I don't think this person would have done that, but he was very concerned as to, well, not for himself so much, for other people who get caught in the.
It wasn't the person that's been a guest on your old show, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. Skip?
Yeah, it was Skip.
Is he listening?
Well, he might. He might even call in.
Oh, that'd be great. Because, you know, I mean, he brings up a good point there about, you know, can you convert it to other currencies? And that's what makes this whole space so great. I mean, it opens up trade and barter, because if you're European and you come over to the United States, no longer do you have to pay exchange rates to go to bank. If you know, restaurants and that start to become more adaptable to accepting cryptocurrencies, which is converted straight to dollars at Coinbase. So you're going to see a lot of, it breaks down those barriers and takes the banks out of it. In addition, if you want to buy something from somebody in China, you know, now you can transfer cryptocurrencies and you don't have to worry about those exchange rates. I got nailed on eBay purchasing something from Canada. And
oh, really?
Let me tell you what, I about fell over. I thought I got a great deal until I saw my Visa card. And I got charged 9% for a currency exchange through Visa.
Well, that leads into one of the other stories. So when we get down to
the
point
I made
complaint
to him, Visa was a vehicle.
Since you brought up a call, or the potential of a call, I will give a phone number out. We don't normally throw it open very often for phone calls, but if you're out there and you do want to call, you can call 888-761-1490, 888-761-1490, at least until the second half of the show. All the lines will be taken up with our guests Rosa Shores and Gabe Higgins. At that time, there is another line, 941-761-8703, 761-8703. And before we go into the other stories, also want to remind you that next week is the meetup, and we already have a lot of RSVPs, expecting another big crowd at Mocha Joe's, 3:30 p.m., February 24th at Mocha Joe's, the Bradenton Bitcoin and Cryptocurrency Meetup. Special guest, this first time anyone's hearing about it, outside the inner circle, outside the brain trust, is Joseph Gehrman, who is the principal of J Squared, and he's going to be talking about passive income from proof-of-stake mining. So to just condense that, if you've had wonders and questions about could you make money mining in that spare room that's doing nothing at your house, this will be the time to ask. He'll also be the guest on the radio show next week at 12:45. He'll be in studio, and then he'll be at Mocha Joe's later that afternoon. That's 3:30 next week, probably the most interesting meetup since the last most interesting meetup.
And Joseph is just amazing. I mean, you want to talk about a smart guy. I mean, he is definitely one of the smartest guys I know in the space.
Hey, I want to ask him, should I mine in the back room or should I put on an Airbnb? And I want to find out which I can do better with. But let's get back to the talk about getting your money out of an exchange, the liquidity, because a couple things relate to the other. We got to the Bitcoin in your analysis on that. Litecoin was the stellar, no pun intended for the Lumens people, the stellar leader this week. But Bitcoin Cash, after languishing for a while, also made a play. Now, we can talk about Litecoin Cash in a moment, but the other big news for Litecoin was LitePay. Many people know about BitPay. It's been a legacy way for merchants to accept payment in Bitcoin. Now, Litecoin has LitePay that actually probably is more attractive to merchants if they study it, but also Bitcoin Cash was accepted by BitPay as a means of payment now. So, first of all, on Litecoin, what are you looking at on that chart, Andy?
Well, I mean, Litecoin's definitely recovered a lot, and it's recovered more than Bitcoin Cash has from its high. I think Bitcoin Cash is still down 60% off of its high, where Litecoin's only down about 30%. I like Litecoin here. I've been a big Bitcoin Cash fan for a while, but I like Litecoin here. I think that it's the most versatile. I use it more often than anything else, and I was ironically shopping on Overstock.com. I mean, one of my favorite places to shop now. And I'm looking for, this was a couple weeks ago when it was a little chilly out, and I'm looking for a little doggy sweater and for my pit bull, and he's just a big lover. He's just a big lover.
Just but a fragile little puppy.
He's a fragile little puppy. But I go to hit pay, and it says, oh, pay with cryptocurrencies. I click on it, and the first thing that came into my mind was, oh, I have Litecoin. And so right then and there, I was just like, wow. I mean, that mentally, that psychologically, that just meant a lot to me. And so I do like Litecoin here a lot better than Bitcoin Cash, and it is cheaper, and it's also very fast and moving around. So,
the real key, and we talked about politics a little while ago, it's been introduced in the proposed bill, but it didn't get out of committee or anything like that. And some of the idea, there's a couple of Republicans in the House of Representatives that have put forward a bill that up to $600 of a purchase will not be subject to capital gains tax. That's really what we need to make cryptocurrency payments commonplace. Over $600, like a lot of things, you got to generate 1099 perhaps. You got to definitely report it. At this point, you have to report. If you got $2 worth of Litecoin and you buy $20, technically you got to report your capital gains on that, which makes it
Is that
either
been passed,
ignored,
Henry?
What?
Is that passed?
It hasn't even gotten out of committee, but at least it's been formulated into a bill. Mm-hmm. And maybe in the weeks to come we can try and get someone from, if not the Congress people, someone from their staff to talk about it.
I'm going to call Donald up, see if we can get Donald in here, get Donald to make a, to make a decision on this, an executive decision, because he is the decision maker.
You going to tweet him? Or?
I'll give him a tweet.
Yeah, now that your presence on Twitter. So let's quickly, what was the next resistance we're looking at Litecoin and Bitcoin Cash, so that we can all jump in when it breaks out?
Oh, boy, you're going to ask me this on the fly, too, right?
I find it's always in your mind.
Yeah, it is. The next resistance is the $300 level for Litecoin. But
I think we're going to see. We got to run from 230 to 300.
Well, I mean that's you know what, we're sitting at these levels and
what was resistance before this?
Well, we're right at the resistance level. So to see a little pullback and then to break this resistance level, I think we test 300 again before we before surging even higher. I think I really like Litecoin here, and it's. Other than Bitcoin, it's my largest holding right now.
Well, I just refreshed my CoinMarketCap screen, and since you started talking, it's gone up to 1.5%. So okay. We're looking for the breakout here sometime on the show, and it will be because Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy, has stated. And Bitcoin Cash, are we looking at a resistance on that?
You know, to be honest with you, I've not been following Bitcoin Cash a lot lately. It's too high, and I don't like. I'll be honest with you. I don't like the philosophy right now. I was at the Miami show, and I just do not like the direction of the organization. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay. Well, that's good because we don't have much time, and especially because we want to be timely when we're.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play. Among the stars, let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me.
I just had to let that play out. And it is Elon Musk. Favorite science fiction, fantasy, romance author. He's got it loaded on Audible in that Tesla that is on its way to Mars. It's playing right now, and that mannequin will absorb this. It probably will come to life because that's how it is. When you read one of her novels, it comes to life. And that, of course, we're talking about Sabine Priestley, also an engineer, but... primarily these days, an artist of the spoken word and the printed word, right?
And a cryptomaniac.
Yes, that too. So you were at the, you were gone last week, and where were you?
Yeah, so it was the Da Vinci's Fair that I mentioned, and it's just a geek fest. It's all things technology and fun. We had drones and robotics and the STEM.
And that was where?
That was at Manatee Technical College. It's a yearly thing. It happens every year.
Almost annually.
Yeah,
almost
I was annually. Say, is that like an annual thing?
It's almost like Monday happening every week. I don't know.
All right. Well, we will come back with more of Sabine, Augie, Andy, myself.
And my new bestie, Elon.
Well, if it has a dongle from Mars coin on there. That's what, you know.
Well, Mars coin was a topic of another meeting I was having this week, but that's not to be discussed on the air yet. And... we will come back with Litecoin Cash and all that's happening with that. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raine Show.
I drink a cup of coffee and start to combing out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee.
Wow, some people really love their coffee. But you'll experience much more to love than just the coffee at Mocha Joe's. The perfect spot for family and friends to relax with casual dining or enjoy the pastries and gourmet coffee shop at 3633 Cortez Road, West Bradenton. It will be love at first bite 7 days a week at Mocha Joe's. Thursday is prime rib night. Friday, all-you-can-eat fish. And don't forget the world-famous $4.99 Saturday burger night. Vegetarian? On a gluten-free diet? You won't be left out at Mocha Joe's. There's something for everybody at Mocha Joe's. 3633 Cortez Road West. Don't believe me? Then call them up and ask for yourself at 941-753-7094. Open Sunday to Wednesday for breakfast and lunch. Thursday to Saturday for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Party cups of coffee waiting for you to come home.
Henry Rain Show here at WWPR 1490 AM, and reminding you, as always, heard every Saturday, 12:05 to 1:30. And in the studio, we have Sabine Priestley, Augie, the Contrarian, Goldbug One, a.k.a. Andy, Alex Solis is on some important mission that is top secret, and Lee and Lennart are out spreading the Bitcoin ATM footprint. And I can't say
they're like Christmas for cryptos.
I'm hoping to get them in soon. I can't say the details, but when they announce their next announcement,
oh, it's gonna be huge.
It's gonna be huge.
I'm waiting to get my hands on that.
Well, you know, it's if you were to take Lee, and I love Lee, if you were to take Lee, put a red pants on him, put a red jacket on him, and you know. Boy, that's Santa Claus there.
He'd be crypto Santa.
We don't have Facebook Live going right now. There's no video here. And I'm going to do something silently. I am going to tell you, I'm sorry, Lennart, but I don't think he'll mind. I'm going to tell you what the scheduled rollout number of ATMs is across the country. Now, I'm going to do it one digit at a time. Okay, here's the first digit. Here's the second digit. And I don't want to say how many more digits I put out, but that's
crazy.
That is a crazy
that's
number.
Awesome.
Yes, and I have to say, you know, they came on here. They only had 8 machines.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, they could put Bitcoin Cash and Dash machines, you know, solely right at the strip clubs. You know, I mean, you know, there you go.
Well, let's get a little. Respect for the workers there. They don't need that because you're going to find, you don't need the club skimming off the top of the hardworking entertainers.
You want the guys to go in there and have all the money, you know.
No.
They run out of dollar bills.
They can create an app on the entertainer's phone that can go directly there.
They're the same as tucking it in their little G-string there.
I guess Henry's never done the shower of $100 bills. I mean,
I think the shower of bitcoins would be much more exciting to any entertainer that knew what a shower of bitcoins felt like.
I don't know what clubs you've been to, but
yeah, it's been a long time.
It has been.
Okay, we were going to talk about Litecoin. This is a perfect segue to that last mini discussion. Be careful out there. Well, that's what Litecoin creator Charlie Lee tweeted in response to the launch of Litecoin Cash. He went on to call it a scam, saying don't fall for it. His harsh comments might come as a surprise since Litecoin Cash developers might not come as a surprise since Litecoin Cash's developers admit they have no ties with Charlie Lee or the official Litecoin project. They are going to be forking Litecoin, and that comes probably in the next week or so. Many people say that this is just playing off the hype that Bitcoin Cash got when they forked, and I think they're probably right about that. You will get 10 Litecoin Cash for every Litecoin you're holding, and that is if you have it in a wallet or some exchange where it's going to be supported. Litecoin Cash lead developer Tanner, who did not give his full name to Coindesk.com, admits the project is named to draw attention. Quote, community engagement is the key to success for any coin. I think that, hey, you already own this. Why not check out what we're doing? It's a good jumping off point for people.
Yeah.
Well, yes, Tanner, it is. The two cash projects are different. While Bitcoin Cash rallied support from those who had a complete technical vision, Litecoin Cash doesn't appear to have the same strong ideological roots. Its reason, I'm going to ask Sabine to correct my pronunciation, raison d'etre. Oh, that's pretty close. For reason for existence? Oh, Augie going,
let's hear Augie say that. The man.
Oh, don't you want him to whisper that in your ear?
Yeah.
I do say it again, please.
One more time, Augie.
Anytime. Raison d'etre.
No wonder he was the chick magnet back in the day, you know?
Yeah.
Come on, he still is.
Just.
The Hugh Hefner.
He's just got the force field around him now. He's still the magnet.
That's why
Sabine,
she came right in, went over and sat next to Augie, you know? Three chairs over here next to me, and she goes, sits next to Augie, grabs one of them, and sends it over there.
I'll sit next to you next week.
Age over beauty.
We're in the United States of America, so I'm going to say it in American. The
American, is that
the reason for existence?
Cold American, yeah.
Litecoin's mining algorithm SHA-256, which Litecoin Cash plans to implement, will allow old mining machines to have a new life. Old Bitcoin miners that can't efficiently mine Bitcoin anymore will be able to efficiently mine Litecoin Cash. So, if you have a forking obsession,
yeah,
you now can bring your old mining equipment to life. Maybe next week when Joseph Gehrman is in the studio, we'll ask him about this, the new Litecoin cash mining algorithm, or when you're at the meetup next Saturday at 3:30 p.m. at Mocha Joe's, you can ask him purposely and in person.
Another worthless coin, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm just trying to decide. Do I really want to move my Litecoin on the chance of
all that risk for, you know, a dollar?
And it's just the naming is, that bothers me.
Yeah.
That really bothers me.
Where is Alex when we need him? Because I need to know where I can put this that's going to support it. I'm not going to just move it over
wallet.
To the hardware. Well, I don't want to.
Yeah, that's why I mess with it.
I'll just lose my key and then.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just wondering if I move it over to Bittrex, will they eventually support it? See, that's why we need Alex.
So where is it going to be? That I didn't check.
I don't know. I don't do this kind of research on where I'm going to fork my Litecoin.
Just put it in a private
someplace
wallet.
Someplace quiet and dark, I guess.
You know what you can do is you can go down to one of the ATM machines that's owned by Byte Federal. Print yourself out a nice little wallet, transfer it all to that wallet, and then you'll get your forking in more ways than one.
Okay. I am speechless at the moment. I'm trying to think if I have a clip that would be appropriate for this, but I don't think I do. I do have something else, though, that Alex had brought up in our little crypto discussion group that goes on off the air. About, you know, he is bullish on Tether. He does not that it's going up, but he thinks it's well supported and there's nothing to worry about there. Speaking about where you keep your stuff, I know Andy isn't too worried about it because you only have to worry if you're holding it.
That's right. You know, I know all these this doomsday are coming out that the whole market's going to collapse because of Tether. I think that's ridiculous. You know, I mean, the only people that lost in Tulip Mania were the people that were holding tulips, you know. So, you know, I'll be honest with you, and I'm just going to be straight honest with you. I don't think it's that big of a deal because they were served by the SEC and along with Bitfinex. And do you really think that if there's some shady going-ons that they're going to continue the shady going-ons with the SEC investigating them?
Yes.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Haven't you ever known somebody that was kiting checks?
You
keep going until you
keep
get caught.
That last one, right, yeah.
There's no sense pulling the house down before you get your last steak dinner.
Yeah, that's true.
The
I'm trying to find my detail on this. I have, do have a good audio clip as far as that. So anyway, Alex put this, that the CEO of Binance said Tether was good. There was no problem with it, and he says that proves it. Well, for background, Tether has launched a fresh round of token creation this month, adding $86 million worth of Europeg Euro Tether.
Wow.
So they have, besides the U.S. dollar Tether, you now have Euro Tether, to an additional $60 million plus of dollar peg U.S. dollar Tether. Both tokens are issued on Ethereum, with the two wallets currently showing ongoing activity. Finance Magnates, which is a new service, quoted an earlier announcement last September from Bitfinex sister exchange ETHFINEX. The new tokens are a part of a collaboration bringing Tether to Ethereum. Why is this important? Well, I will put this forward to Andy and see what he says. U.S. dollar Tether has a significant influence on the market, with $2.2 billion trading in circulation. There's significant demand, which in the 24 hours when this was written, $3.4 billion Tether has traded. So turned over twice as much as what its market cap is. And Tether is second only to Bitcoin in trading volume. So let's go to the clip that Alex thought was proof of this. Sorry to speak for Alex here and not support him when he can't defend himself, but that's the way we do things. Anyway, this is Xiangpeng Zhao, who is the CEO of Binance, and this is what he was saying on the show CryptoLark. And how the heck does the head of one of the biggest exchanges wind up on CryptoLark, and he hasn't been on this show yet? All right, well, let's give him a chance to say what he has to say.
Now, I just wanted to ask you as well, there's been a lot of accusations made against the guys over at Tether. How do you feel about that situation? What are your thoughts on it?
My general feeling is that there's always more FUD in the community than there are positive things. So, and the FUD is usually more...
So he's talking about there's a lot of FUD, fear, uncertainty, doubt, and he'll say something critical here in a moment, just giving you a heads up.
Usually more overreactive. I did meet with the key guy from Bitfinex in person a couple of weeks ago, and we did talk about this issue. And there was a couple of other guys who I trust to a pretty high degree. They said they have looked at the accounts. I personally have not looked at the bank accounts.
Okay, he's not looked at the accounts, but a couple of people he trusts has looked at the accounts. They say it's cool.
For a USD Tether. The other two guys, and one of them is another exchange head. It's a separate exchange. That they looked at
who also has a vested interest in making sure that nobody runs on the Tether there.
The bank account and the money is there. So that's what they said. I don't know. I'm actually much more worried about the banking relationship than the actual funds.
But you want
to because I don't know. I'm actually much more worried about the banking relationship than the actual funds.
So he's actually much more worried about the banking relationship. So if there's actually money there, I'm not even sure we can move the money to where it needs to go.
As long as we have a bank account, we're okay.
But you know, this, they make fees every time they move the Tether.
Well, you know what? I mean, Tether's used for day traders for the most part. I mean, you're going in Bitcoin, into Tether, into NEO. I mean, there's a handful of currencies that trade in Tether. Not a tremendous amount, but there's a handful. And I think that's why you see so much turnover. Now, let's just say there's no money in there. Let's just say there is no money in there. Does it really matter? Has it affected anything? No.
Okay, let's take your argument. What happens until... Yes, once the word gets out that it isn't anything there, and everybody, no one will take your Tether for the
What do you use Tether for?
Because there's $2 billion that people think they have in cryptocurrency that they've moved over to Tether, and now they don't have it. And you see people sneeze in South Korea, and the market crashes. What do you think that's going to happen?
I think people holding Tether would be screwed. But you know what?
A little thing like that.
Well, you know what? If you're holding
Tether...
It's
a $2 billion screw.
Yeah, but, okay, let's just put it this way. Look at TRX, Tron. And that crappy coin. It was trading on almost a $20 billion market cap, and it's down to 4 That's 16 billion erased. Tether's 2 billion. I mean, not even the same. Not even
but
in the same ballpark.
It's the second highest volume per day trade. We got to call it there. We'll let it come. We'll bring it back when Alex is here and Joseph Gehrman's here, and we have an even higher level of brain activity going on in WWPR. This, to get us to our guests, who are probably waiting patiently on the other side of Tampa Bay for me to call, you know cryptocurrency is gone mainstream when Ellen DeGeneres is explaining it to her audience. We're going to use that as our transit to get to our guests on the other side, Rosa Shores, Gabe Higgins of Blockspaces.
Now, why would you do an intro to the nicest people in the crypto
space? Because it runs 2 minutes and it gives me a chance to make two
Ellen
different
DeGeneres.
Phone calls. I just
think you've got to degenerate sometime.
All right, here we go. I'm turning mics off, except for mine and Ellen DeGeneres's.
One thing that I'm down with right now that I think everybody is learning about is Bitcoin. Who's heard of Bitcoin? Who can explain what Bitcoin is? Liar. Nobody knows how it works. Nobody. Everybody's talking about Bitcoin. Nobody understands it. It's like a plot twist in a confusing movie. When you're watching a movie and your friends are acting like they know what's going on, and you're like, yeah, I do too. And then you're like, what the hell is everybody? I have no idea. And all I know is Bitcoin is either worth $20,000 or nothing. That's what I know. It's like a digital antiques roadshow. You're just standing in line and you have no idea till you get there. But they didn't call me Economics Ellen in high school for nothing. Make that because I failed economics. So I did a little research, and I am going to the best of my ability, explain how Bitcoin works. Okay. First, the article I read said Bitcoin is decentralized digital currency. Now, to be honest, I don't know what that means. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to explain it, and I think we're all going to get this. Like, pretend like Bitcoin is a goat, okay? Now, it's adorable. Everyone agrees it's adorable. And you want to pick it up and you want to pet it, right? But you can't because it's not there. It doesn't exist except for on that Internet right there. Just like Bitcoin is digital currency. You're probably thinking, Ellen, if I can't physically touch it, where do I keep my Bitcoin? In a digital purse? Which is a funny idea, but it's kind of true. You keep it in a digital wallet. Okay, and the digital wallet can either be apps on your phone or tiny hard drives like this, and which is a really good idea because who wouldn't feel safe with their life savings on a piece of plastic that could go into the washing machine? And it sounds like a Jimmy Kimmel prank, but it's not. A digital wallet holds all of your Bitcoin, unlike your real wallet, which holds receipts and punch cards for free Jamba Juice. I also found out Bitcoin operates sort of like the stock market. So say you own one Bitcoin, and when you bought it, it was worth $10,000, okay? And then for some reason, Bitcoin becomes worth $20,000. You just doubled your money. Personally, I'd rather own a baby goat. That's my but that's just me. Basically, if you invest in Bitcoin, you'll either be a millionaire or you'll be totally broke.